Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to NoCompromiseRadio.com. Steve Cooley, I appreciate you for lots of reasons, but one is you'll come and do the show having no idea what we're going to talk about.
Well, I think the focus is going to be on Awana today, isn't it? We're going to be talking about the Awana program and about how you can bring your kids to Bethlehem Bible Church on Wednesday night at 6, what does it start at, 6:20?
6:30.
6:30.
Yeah, till 8 o'clock.
If you're here at 6:20, then you get to check them in. And
we probably see you walking around someplace.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, what do we get Awana from? Is that like Amish people in Iowa selling dryers and washers and stuff?
A workplace away from Narnia.
Oh, that's the Amana colony. Okay.
Awana.
Well, I think it comes from this particular verse right here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed. A workman, not ashamed.
A workman ashamed, not a.
I think so. I think that's the King James. That's the King Jimmy. But something with that. I remember, Steve, to this day, growing up in Omaha, Nebraska, I must have been 10 or 12 years old, and there was a kid who lived down the street, and he would invite me to Awana, and he had this little uniform on, and I was a Cub Scout and a wee below, and I could identify, oh yeah, you get patches for achievement and stuff, and here's this, is this branding, and he would always invite me to Awana, and he was a weird kind of Baptist. He was more religious than we would be. We were Lutherans, and he would invite me to Awana. I never went, though. Probably would have learned some Bible verses.
You probably would have. But you wouldn't have got saved any earlier.
Well, that's true. When Haley was little, they had something called, I think they still do, Awana Cubbies, because every grouping has a different name. We're Spikers, Sparkers, Cubbies.
There's the Awana Cubbies, then the Awana Fillies.
Yeah. Felines.
Oh, no!
And so they have songs and skits and memory devices.
They're singing songs in the carrying signs.
Mm-hmm. And hers was, "We are Awana Tubbies. We're happy all day long."
Well, I remember.
Because he was like four and couldn't say cubby.
Oh, I remember when we were the Tooleys.
Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Tooley. That's right. Always a gimmick. So we do have Awana, and sometimes we've had so many people we couldn't fit one single solitary sardine-like person here in the can, but now we can fit them.
Yeah, we used to shimmy and, you know,
We weren't called Shiners for nothing. We had the Sparkies, the Cubbies, and the Shiners.
But you don't have to be a member of BBC to bring your child here for Awana on Wednesday night. We'd love to, you know, help you out, teach your child the Bible.
You know, I love Awana for lots of reasons. And basically, as I describe it, is there's a bunch of men and women who want to serve the Lord and your kids here. They're Bible memory verses and Bible quizzes when they get older. They have some fun game time in the Awana circle, circle of life.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Well, they have a lot of fun. And, you know, the kids, I think our kids have done really well, you know, over the years and various competitions and stuff like that. So if you want your kid to be a champion Awana, you know, Bible learner person, you know, Wednesday night.
Yeah, you didn't have to start early in September. Right now is fine. I also like it because some of the men that Steve and I and the elders have directly trained give the Awana Council Time. And Awana Council Time is it's a Bible illustration devotional for 10 minutes or so to teach the kids a Bible truth. I've done quite a few of those. I pawn them off on others now.
Well, and you're pretty legendary, too. I mean, he comes up with all these crazy things and, you know, very inventive.
I had to stop because I couldn't outdo last year. It's like, that's why I don't bring a tank out on the stage.
Yourself disappear?
You know how that's a lot of disappearing ink. It cost me like $25 at the gag store to do that.
Nice.
Steve, speaking of Awana, you have such a good segue art about you. I have in front of me a hymnal. It's a hymnalette, actually. And it's a Child Evangelism Fellowship hymnal, Salvation Songs for Children, number 2, compiled by Ruth
Bader Ginsburg
Overholzer, price 15 cents, and it's in 1943.
Wow.
Now, like Awana, Child Evangelism Fellowship has done a lot of good to get Bible verses into the hearts of children, but none of us are above critique, right?
Well, speak for yourself.
All right. Well, in this little hymnalette, I did see this, and I wanted to get your opinion because...
Hymnalette.
Yeah, because Steve, you are so quick when it comes to songs and pop culture and hymns, and you have a good memory. And so I wanted to know if you sang this at the Mormon church, if we sing it at Awana, should we sing it on Sunday morning?
Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam.
This is number 36. Okay. It's called The Boy Jesus. Okay. Let me just read you one stanza. Copyright 1937, John Josie, used by permission. I should like to have known the boy Jesus in his home, at his work, at his play. He must have been gentle and good and kind and helpful to someone each day.
You said that was written by John Bon Jovi? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah. He tried to buy the rights to this hymnalette, but the Buffalo Bills said no.
You know... This is the kind of, this is, liberalism. This is the kind of, do something good, be good. Here's the message of the gospel. Be good like Jesus. He was good, so we should be good.
Steve, number 37 is an exercise hymn. We stand on our feet as we sing. We sit while the message you bring. We bow as we worship in heavenly friendship. We kneel as we pray to our King. Amen. A.C. Westfall. That's basically like a calisthenic to keep the kids awake in between.
I can envision like, a little pep to it. That's a Richard Simmons worship song.
Well, Westfall had a good shot as a Phoenix Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, left-handed, also coached at USC. I think he got into some problems somewhere, but...
I don't know.
Paul Westfall.
Yeah. Lastly, in order, number 38, hurrah, hurrah. We're happy again, you see. Hurrah, hurrah, as happy as can be. We're here to learn of Jesus and his love for you and me while we are going to Bible school. Forgot to rhyme it.
Really, is that a line? Forgot to rhyme it?
No, see, something like this would be better. Now, let's go positive. Here's a better one, Steve.
Okay, a better one.
By the way, when they went up to Jesus and they said, hail. How did that all work? Was that a word that they actually said, hail?
I think if you said hail, he'd probably start ducking.
Uh-huh, I know.
Change in the weather.
Now, see, teaching kids to love the Bible, I'm all for that. I like this one better. So let's have a few positive, encouraging words here. The Bible gold mine. Digging, digging, hallelujah, happy miners we. Ever digging for the treasure in God's word we see. Now, see, Psalm 119, I can go for that.
That's really spiffy.
That is, we're digging.
I just don't know if that's a child's hymnal. I don't know if, I don't know too many kids who can really dig deeply into the world. I mean, maybe there are a few, but most kids are, I don't know about that one.
I'm trying to find another good one to leave on a good one. All right, let's do this one. This is for our...
How about just Jesus loves me, this I know. That's a fine one.
But Steve, this is for our post-trib, mid-trib, anything besides pre-trib.
I'm anti-trib.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want the tribulation, but I know it's going to be a fact.
I don't either.
Number 81, Salvation Songs for Children. I'm going up, up, up. I'm going up. Bless the Lord when Jesus comes, I'm going up. When the trumpet shall resound, in earth I'll not be found. In the twinkling of the eye, I'm going up, up, up.
The gospel has an escalator.
There, that's Jacob's ladder.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, excellent. climbing is Jacob's ladder.
At least it didn't make it sound like it was necessarily your own efforts. I mean, there was
no indication. Yeah, see, we are going up. That's absolutely true.
Right.
Steve, March 18th, 2004, according to this news report.
From I guess the,
Yeah, from the sacred sandwich. Woman crashes car into church. But see, here's what Stephanie Faye Hammond said.
Allegedly,
in my opinion. God wanted me, etc. God wanted me in there. Then she stabs NASCAR-obsessed husband after alleged urging from the devil. So
wait a minute. He's supposedly obsessed by NASCAR, but he went to church, and then she drove the car into the church and stabbed him. Yeah. Well, that doesn't make... If he was NASCAR-obsessed, how come he went to church? He should have stayed home and watched NASCAR.
I don't know, but you know, NASCAR is very, very famous, and you've got people running others over, and now you've got possessed Tennessee woman. Here's what the account says, Steve. Crashed her car into a church, laid on the altar, and then stabbed her husband in the chest because the devil told her the man was worshiping a NASCAR race.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, that's right. So, I guess we could be picky and say, well, there shouldn't be an altar in the church because Jesus has been slain once and for all. What does that say if the altar's in the church?
I don't know, but that was some kind of altar call there.
Yeah, I know. That calls you right up to the front, like in like with a stick shift.
Make your calling an election sure, because if you know, if it's not, your wife might come in and end your life right there.
But see, Steve, yeah. The story gets more interesting.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Or as we say in Nebraska.
Interesting,
yes. Okay. She rammed her Toyota Celica into the front doors of Providence Church.
Now, wait a minute.
See?
You know where I'm going. Toyota Celica is not an authorized NASCAR vehicle.
They forgot to pay the dues. And she said, the devil is in me, and stabbed him on the right side of his chest with a large kitchen knife. Mr. Hammond stated he pulled the knife out of his chest and fled the scene. He went back to the apartment and waited on the police for EMS assistance. Now, you're not supposed to take a knife out, are you?
No, you're not. I mean, he's pretty providentially blessed. See what I did there? You're not supposed to do that because it could have severed a major artery. And so when you then pull it out, it just accelerates the bleeding. But apparently that didn't happen.
Now, I am impressed with all candor. Pastor Joel Trigg said this about the couple.
Trigonometry.
Actually, it's interesting that the writer of this article called the church the harassed church. And I thought that would kind of be a neat name for a church. We've got the guts church. You've got scumbag of the earth church. And now we could have the harassed church, where if your normal life and job isn't enough, come here. There's a lot of harassment for you. Anyway, it said they're praying for this couple. We have a lot of compassion for people who are struggling with those kinds of things.
We even wanted to change the name of our church sometimes. So what about that? Here's the name. I'll just float this name out.
Okay.
New name, the Persecuted Church.
Yeah. The voice of the persecuted church.
Or what about the Church of the Broken?
Wounded, broken, and authentic.
He did that. If we had visual right now, you'd realize he was just, he didn't like that idea.
See, you know, because I've been so wounded.
Yeah, the persecuted church. I mean, there's a church, you know, how do you know that you're on the road to being a cult? Because you're boasting about your persecution in your name.
That's right. And of course, we love nicknames on NoCo Radio, and we just call it the purse.
We love nicknames. That's why
Steve, the pastor said they pray for people struggling with those kinds of things, like the kinds of things where you think your husband is demon possessed and and you've got NASCAR worship and stuff. So we should get a little support group, NASCAR Anonymous support group.
Well, I think as soon as when the focus is on demons, when the focus is on demon possession, when the focus is on what the devil is doing, and it's really not on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to get nutty stories like that. When people are focused on demons, they do bad things.
Steve, and this is serious here because we've had, 14 minutes of non-serious, but the deeds of the flesh are evident. And when Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 5, the deeds of the flesh, he's not saying the deeds of a satanically possessed, obsessed person. These are the deeds of the flesh. And so when there's drunkenness, when there's sexual sin, when there's a lack of self-control, this is not because of Satan. You cannot have, I mean, did you watch Flip Wilson when you were growing up?
I did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and did you like Flip?
My parents enjoyed him a lot. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I was always a little weirded out by the Geraldine, you know, dressing up like a woman was just really weird.
Mm-hmm. Even back then.
Yeah, that was weird.
Mm-hmm. Here it says, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, NASCAR, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. Mm-hmm. And so if you do have a problem.
Is that the message?
Mm-hmm, be the message. If you've got a problem, just don't blame it on Satan, because you can't do anything about Satan. But if you have a problem, a sin, and then you can say, Lord, please forgive me for this sin, then there's forgiveness to be found. So the blame game actually hurts at the end, because there's no relief, there's no release, there's no debt forgiven.
Well, Satan didn't do this or did do that or whatever. I mean, people don't want to blame things on Satan, but the bottom line is, Satan is not ubiquitous. You know, people think he's out for them, and I'm like, why you? You know, out of the 340 members of your church, you're number 339, and yet Satan is expending all his energy on you. That's pretty peculiar. Why would that be? You have no ministry. Nobody knows who you are. You're not, you know, and Satan is, he's singularly focused on you. Isn't that odd?
Steve, I hope I don't forget the punchline, but it was the little boy back in the old days in the Midwest, and he was a Christian boy, and his dad was the pastor, and they're all sitting in the cart with the horse drawing them along, and his teenage buddies are saying, you know, if Satan came into our little carriage, you know, who would he go after, you or us? And then the boy said, well, he'd go after me because he's already got you. And so I don't think Satan has to worry about this particular lady. I'm quite confident that it wasn't Satan saying these things to her. I think it was herself, her own conscience, her own delusions. I don't know if she's needs some organic evaluations.
Well, I mean, you know, people want to blame illness or whatever, but we often, and I say we generically, people, by focusing on their problems, by focusing on specific issues over and over and over again, they drive themselves mad. You know, has nothing to do with any kind of, for the most part, chemical imbalance in their brain. They've become so singularly focused on something that they've imagined all these other things in conjunction with that. They create their own unreality, as it were.
So true, Steve. Lots of times if I meet with somebody and they're having any kind of delusions or illusions or allusions, I'll ask them, tell me about your sleep the last week. I mean, our mind, if it doesn't have any sleep, it can play tricks on us.
Have you ever done that? I mean, what's the longest you've ever gone without sleep?
I don't know, 4 hours? I do not know.
I believe that. I've watched you during some of my sermons. No, I'm kidding. It's only a joke.
See, Steve has to listen to every one of my sermons twice on Sunday morning. And sometimes that second service, you know, he knows when the good part's going to be there, and then he's kind of looking. And then the other times I'm just wondering, what is he giving me, like some kind of signal with his eyes? SOS, do not do that.
No, but the, what were we talking about?
Oh, SOS.
No, before
singularly
that.
Focused.
Oh, sleep. Yeah, yes. You know, I remember once, seriously, I went maybe about, it wasn't quite 3 days, but it was maybe like 2.5 days without sleep. And I had to drive. It was a short distance, but I had to drive a short distance. I saw things running across the street. They weren't there. And I knew they weren't there, but I saw them as surely as if they were there. I mean, we need sleep. We are, you know, built because of, you know, just our mortality. We're built to need rest. And boy, if you don't sleep, you're going to pay a price.
Steve, this is kind of a joke, but it leads me into a serious topic. Adam and Eve before the fall, would they have needed sleep? See, I think they would have, because they're still creatures,
yeah,
right? They still need to have downtime.
Yeah, I would have said that, yeah.
You know, REM sleep and rest and all that stuff. I often think, and regularly think, when I'm hungry, we have to eat 2 or 3 times a day, and we're hungry in between, and snacks. Just how dependent upon the Lord are we? We're no less dependent than farmers 300 years ago, our Bedouins 1800 years ago. Every meal is from the Lord. Every breath is from the Lord. And we're reminded every time we have a hunger pang, we are dependent people.
It's true.
I think of the same with sleep. I have to lay down because I just need rest. I can't do this. What I'm doing right now, I can't do any longer. I have to go to bed.
And if you don't listen to that, you're going to pay a price. So,
Steve, on No Compromise Radio today, we're going to probably wrap it up with some gleanings. June 19th, 2014, ChristianityToday.com research. Okay. How many Americans would be happy if their child married a born-again Christian? New survey finds even liberals largely favor Christians over other types of marriage partners.
Well, I was happy. I was happy that my daughter's married, you know, two born-again Christians. Yeah, I mean, which says, it says something, though, you know, about our culture. They recognize that there's a morality that ought to attend, you know, Christianity. So at least they recognize that as a good thing.
I think there's a pragmatism to morality.
Yep.
Now, we don't want to be moralists because, as we've talked about before, the self-righteous and the false teachers and the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, those are the ones that got the ire of Jesus, and Jesus just did combat rock on them, right? It was just war. But it is, if you had to pick, do you want to live next door to a hellion Satanist who moon dances or whatever and has all these parties, or would you rather live next door to a grandma and grandpa moralist who think they're going to be good enough to get to heaven?
Yeah, I mean, giving my choice between, you know, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, I mean, just spread the group out a little bit, or somebody who, you know, wants to get stoned every weekend. I think I'm going to go for the moralists, because they're going to cause less trouble. I'm going to, you know, be less worried about them and their kids, by the way.
The survey says, accordingly, only 17% of Americans would be happy about a marriage to a gun owner. I have a question. Are you born again Christian? Oh, great. Are you a gun owner? Oh, bad.
Now, there's a question. I just wouldn't have asked that question.
Well, here's my question. What born again Christian isn't a gun owner?
Welcome to No Compromise Radio. My name's Steve.
Steve, narcissistic personality disorder syndromes, NPDS, a pattern of grandiosity.
I'll tell you who has narcissism.
Okay.
Just about everybody. It's just a question of degree, right?
Totally. I mean, he has a sense of self-importance, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, that tells us we need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, beauty, or ideal love.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. If you got $10 million, what would you spend the money on? You know, it's that kind of thing that goes on and on.
I'd give it to charity.
Would you still do No Compromise Radio if you won $10 million?
Well, of course I would.
All right. Requires excessive admiration.
We have a better studio.
I thought he was going to say we have a better host.
Well, you know, there's that possibility.
See, every one of these makes me think we are so selfish, we need the self-sacrificial one, Christ Jesus. Requires excessive admiration.
I never really thought of it that way. But, I was always kind of the class clown and stuff like that. So I guess so. You know, you want people to think you're funny. You want people to think that you're smart. Mm. I mean, does anybody ever walk in and just go, yeah,
he's stupid.
I'm dumb.
Uh-oh, here's a no compromise one. This is one reason we need the gospel. Narcissistic personality disorder symptom number 7, lacks empathy.
To some degree or another, I think a lot of people do, but that's just something we ought not to see in Christians. I mean, maybe initially they can respond wrongly, but if you don't feel the pain of others, you know, I was talking about it with regard to Robin Williams and others. When death comes, we all ought to feel what Joan Rivers just died the other day. You know, we all ought to feel some compassion, some empathy for their loved ones, for the people they leave behind. Everybody ought to be able to identify with that. And if you can't, and your first reaction is, or Joan Rivers in hell, there's something wrong with you. There is something wrong with you.
I know. Well, my name is Mike Abendroth here with Steve today, nocompromiseradio.com. We are thankful that we worship the one who has overcome death and hell and Satan. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want a free Bible or some information about Jesus Christ, we'd love to send you something. Write us at info@nocompromiseradio.com.
Or if you want more info about Awana, write us.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.